We're back. We're joined by Gordon Chang, our duty expert here at Secure Freedom Radio on matters involving Asia and American policy with regard to that important part of the world, most especially, but not restricted exclusively, to China, a country whose conversations at the summit, shall we say, seem to have been overshadowed by those that President Trump had with Vladimir Putin, but he also met on the margins of the G20 meeting last week with Xi Jinping, the president of China. To discuss that and much more, I'm very pleased to say we have a man who has been giving a lot of thought to these matters, notably in his book, The Coming Collapse of China, and of course in his terrific columns, which you can find at The Daily Beast, Forbes.com, and WorldAffairsJournal.com. It's so good to have you back, Gordon. Thank you for taking a few minutes to join us.
Thank you, Frank.
So let's talk a little bit about the meeting that took place between Xi and President Trump. Was there news coming out of it, or just simply more insights into the nature of that relationship?
It certainly was a long meeting, Frank. It was more than 90 minutes. And the important thing here is that it was almost entirely focused on North Korea. I think that the Trump administration no longer has a China policy, and that's a good thing, because for far too long, American administrations have elevated the integration of China into the international system over disarming North Korea. Now, it's for Trump, disarming North Korea is the number one policy in Asia, and he's subordinating his relations to China to North Korea, which means that we'll have friendly relations with Beijing if China helps, and we're not going to have friendly relations if it doesn't. And right now, after the meeting with Xi Jinping, it looks like we're not going to. And that's a good thing, because China has not been helping on North Korea. It's been working with Russia to frustrate us at places like the UN. And indeed, the Chinese are continuing their support of the North Korean economy. So, you know, as Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said on Air Force One back from Hamburg at the G20, we had very direct discussions, as he put it, with the Chinese. And that's, of course, code for unfriendly talk.
Yeah. Frank exchange of views, I think, is the typical diplomatic parlance for that kind of conversation. But Gordon, I'm surprised to hear you say that in a way, because it does seem to me as though subordinating our China relationship to North Korea can mean that a dangerous adversary, I think, is what's emerging from Beijing, is not being considered as such, except through the prism of how they conduct themselves with respect to North Korea. Or is that an overstatement of what you're really saying?
Well, what's going on here is essentially that Trump has taken President Obama's advice that North Korea is America's number one security threat and decided that really for the first time since 1994, the United States is going to place North Korea really at the center of our policy. In a sense, of course, our relations with China are multidimensional. They go well beyond North Korea. We've got predatory trade practices, cyber attacks, South China Sea, Taiwan, human rights, you name it. But because China won't help on North Korea, it means that we're going to take a much tougher posture on all of these other issues. And that's definitely a good thing. Also, because relations with Beijing are so difficult over North Korea, what we're doing right now is we are warming up our ties with New Delhi. You know, many people had been concerned, including me, that Trump was going to let trade irritants, immigration concerns, overwhelm the overarching strategic considerations of relations with New Delhi. Both George W. Bush and President Obama, to their great credit, improved and strengthened ties with New Delhi. And people worried that Trump wouldn't continue that initiative. Well, on June 26, when Prime Minister Narendra Modi went to the White House, we saw that Trump put him very much on the top of the list of American friends and allies. And that's a really good thing, because when you step back and look at this, as we've talked about before, when the world's most powerful democracy and its most populous one get together, they really have overwhelming advantage and leverage over China. And this is going to be a narrative that'll continue for quite some time. But the U.S. and India together, along with our other friends, Australia, Japan, Vietnam, you know, this is really an unbeatable combination. I left out South Korea intentionally because of Moon Jae-in, but of course that's just temporary. You know, we will wait out Moon, and the relationship will continue. But, you know, the United States has friends and allies in the region. The Chinese know it. They're becoming increasingly concerned. But this is their fault. They drove all of these countries into the arms of a very unwilling Bush administration and a very unwilling Obama administration. And so, you know, the Chinese have created this situation, and the United States, by almost doing nothing, became, again, the center of countries' desires and hopes in the region.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Gordon, that's a promising prognosis. Less promising, especially given what you've just said about the importance of the partnership between the United States and India, is something you touched on in your column in Forbes.com about China's next war possibly being with the Indians. Now, I don't know if you mean a full-out war or another of the border skirmishes that have taken place over the years between these two countries, but talk a little bit about what the Chinese have been up to and where that looks like it might be headed.
This, Frank, could very well be the next war. The two countries, China and India, fought a war in 1962, which the Chinese basically won. The border, though, between these two nations remains unsettled. The Chinese, over the course of years, have been probing Indian-controlled territory with incursions. And in the middle of June, the last incursion, most recent incursion, started where Chinese construction trucks, guarded by soldiers, started to build a road approaching Indian-controlled territory. This is in Bhutan, which is a sovereign nation, but which is closely allied with India. And Indian troops are now 120 meters apart from the Chinese in a standoff. This is something that the Indian policymakers are worried will turn into a full-scale war, because at this point, you have a Chinese ruler, Xi Jinping, very close to his 19th party Congress later this year, can't back down. The Indians are not going to back down, as they should not, because they cannot allow the Chinese to probe territory controlled by others. So this is a standoff. It's going to last for quite some time. And the concern in New Delhi is that there will be an all-out shooting war between China and India.
It could get very ugly indeed. And in a way, that surprises me, Gordon, because it seemed as though the Chinese were focusing their efforts on expansionism in the South China Sea. It's hard to believe they would want to be strapping on potential challenges with the United States and the Indians, those two great democratic powers, as you say, simultaneously.
Yeah, well, this is really the folly of Chinese foreign policy. You know, Barbara Tuchman wrote that book about how countries do things that are against their interests. Well, you know, China looks very aggressive. It's gotten some gains through aggressiveness, but those gains, I think, are temporary for the most part. And indeed, what they've done longer term is they've created a coalition against it. You know, in the past, Chinese troops have incurred deep into Indian-controlled territory, but they have withdrawn. And the hope is that we're going to see the same thing in Doklam, which is where this most recent controversy is. But there is concern in New Delhi that this incursion looks different than prior ones. And that's why at this point there is, alarm in Asia over this.
Well, as you say, history is replete with examples of countries not only doing things contrary to their interests, but miscalculating what the response of others might be. It may well be that this has something to do with Xi's upcoming party Congress. You follow these things extraordinarily closely, Gordon, and enlighten all of us about them. We are deeply grateful for you doing so and look forward to resuming this conversation with you next week. Next up, Dan Perkins joins us, a best-selling author, notable in his expertise about things like the Middle East and Qatar. What is up with that? Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.